Help us to be an example to them and how eternal hope can give us blessing and everlasting joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy then, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text that I'm going to be sharing the message on this morning is the epistle reading that Pastor Schnegelberger shared with you just a few minutes ago. Well, when we think about our human experience, and all of us experience many things as being humans, it's kind of like a roller coaster of emotions. One minute, things are full of hope. And then, next comes hopelessness. An example, and no, Dick, I wasn't on this ship when it started. The Titanic. The Titanic sails, and it is an unsinkable ship, which would bring in a new era of transoceanic travel. But what happened? 4 days later, the ship begins to go down, and Captain Smith and everyone else realize that it was hopeless. It was a very hopeless situation. And then we go to an event that occurred during World War II. Here, on the coast of France, 350,000 British and French soldiers were surrounded by, of course, the Germans. The German army had surrounded them, planes were attacking them, and they found themselves in a very hopeless situation. But then, of course, of 9 days, many ships from England came along with people to help, and thousands of civilians were involved in that rescue. 338,000 men were rescued off the coast of France at Dunkirk. And this was hailed as a turning point in World War II. In this way, though, history is a reflection of our lives, where there are times that everything seems hopeless, but the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead promises that we are never hopeless. Now, depending on who we are, you may have a feeling of hopelessness or defeated, and it might be something that we have all experienced. Most of us, and I include myself especially here, find that trying to maintain an unending stream of hope can be very exhausting, if not impossible. And there are a number of reasons why we can become hopeless. For example, some of you may be suffering from some kind of an illness. We have that presently going on in my own family. There can be grief. There can be money concerns. There's age-related issues. Maybe there is marital strife. And for you young ones, maybe there are problems in school, friend struggles, work headaches, a sin that we just can't seem to shake. And the list can go on as long as there are people in the world. And then when one thing has sapped us, just about taken all our hope away, we find that something else comes along. For example, oh, you're sick? Well, let's make sure your insurance won't cover you. Work stinks. Well, how about an argument with your kids at home? Or you're lonely since your spouse died. Well, how about some chronic pain to help keep you company? We all feel hopelessness at times, and emotions can be hard to explain. Hopelessness is really self-defining. It simply means we have no hope. Sometimes it feels like we're in a fog. We can't escape and the thick darkness that surrounds us, and sometimes there's that unbearable weight of absolute discouragement. Perhaps some of you have your own definition for that. No matter how we slice it, it's a miserable feeling. And if we are human, the odds say that somewhere along the line, hopelessness is going to darken our doorstep. But the gospel reading for today reminds us, and it takes place on that first Easter evening, and the disciples are gathered together, and there certainly is a feeling of hopelessness on their part. The last 3 years have been mostly pleasant for them. They have had a teacher who protected them, who loved them, taught them, and even did miracles. But now comes the bad news. Jesus is dead. And on top of that, his body is missing. They have no idea what the future holds, probably just sadness, and a return to the way things were before they had met Jesus. Back when their life was just a series of days filled with work, frustrations, loneliness, and hopelessness. And then we have Mary Magdalene and the other women. I have a feeling that those gals weren't feeling hopeless anymore. Why? Because they had seen Jesus. And they brought back that message to the disciples. But they kind of were sitting still under that dark cloud, the cloud of fear and discouragement. And what could possibly give a full room of men and women hope in time like this? Well, maybe they could go back a couple of days when Jesus was still with them. Maybe they find out that all of this is a bad dream, or maybe worse yet, a practical joke. There was only one thing that could help them and one thing that would give them hope, and that was to see Jesus. And guess what? They had that opportunity, and they did see him. For into that locked room came the resurrected Jesus. He had died, and he had been buried, and then whose body had disappeared. And now, lo and behold, what was he doing? He was standing there with them. Not only was he alive, he was speaking. Peace. Peace be with you. In other words, have hope once again. No longer would hopelessness define their lives, but a living hope. And that was fueled by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Now they could rejoice, and now they could have hope. No matter what would happen to them in the future, Jesus was alive. And that changes everything. And then we see that in the reading from Acts. They don't know what's going to happen to them, but they do know that no matter what it is, their Savior is alive. And that's all they needed to know. They faced every day that followed Easter with the same thing, a living hope. So what is it today that gives us hope? Would you believe if I told you that it's the same thing that happened to the disciples? It's true. The hope that we have in this life is found specifically in the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And because he lives, we're never hopeless. Peter says it this way: according to God's great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What does that mean? That means our hope comes to us. God gave us our hope. He gave it to us in our own baptisms, and that will not be destroyed. That hope will be battered at times during our life, but it will persevere by the power of God. And this hope means that no matter what we go through, no matter what the trials are that we endure, no matter what we are struggling with, the fact is that Jesus is alive, and that means that he's with us. He's with us even today to guide us through the fog and the darkness of that hopelessness, and he will never leave us or forsake us. St. Paul describes it this way: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So what is hope? Hope is trusting. It is trusting in the Lord above all things. And it is a wonderful blessing that we receive, that God has given to us. Now, we don't have to maintain that hope by our own power. As I said earlier, sometimes it can be very frustrating. But we have a Father. We have a Father that gives us hope, and He maintains that hope for us. By God's power, you are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We're reminded today that the strength that we have, our faith, it's not just the power within us, but it is the power and the love and mercy of God that comes to us. And that is the source of our hope. And He is the one who will help us find that hope when everything seems to be lost. I have heard it said that there are three kinds of Christians. Those who are about to enter trials, those currently in trials, and those who just came out of one or more trials. Peter is very honest with us today. We are going to be tested by God. We have seen that here, maybe in your own individual lives. We've seen that as a congregation as we continue to wait for a new shepherd. It's a time of testing. It doesn't mean that God is mean. It doesn't mean that He enjoys watching us squirm and helplessly and hopelessly. But as the passage said, His tests are there to refine our faith, like fire refines gold. Fire removes the impurities of gold. And the testing that we also undergo removes the impurities of our faith. What this means is that testing leads us. Where does it lead us? It leads us to trust more, even in God, and not to rely on ourselves as much. Or that we are turned from hopeless things to the giver of all hope. The testing is for our good, and we can put our hope in Christ, knowing that is a very vital truth to each of us. The hope that we have is the assurance that while we cannot see Christ standing with us, He is still there. Thomas came back to the room that was filled with excited and hopeful people. But what did Thomas choose? He chose to remain in despair until he had proof that Jesus was alive. And that proof came the following week, as we know from scriptures. But we here today, we are blessed. We are more blessed than Thomas because we have believed without seeing. We probably won't see Jesus in this life except where He reveals Himself. And He reveals Himself in the Word and in the sacraments. These are the visible places that we as His people today see our invisible Lord, who gives us the peace, the hope, and the strength, and the assurance that something greater is waiting for us, and that is the hope of eternal life. And that hope is not something that's distant and far away from us. It's right here, right now. We have this hope. We have this hope now in this life. The hope of eternal life means that God is with us, and nothing can change that. The hope that we have is not a naive hope. And I'm not telling you to have hope in the sense that I'm telling you to buck up because things are going to get better sooner or later. Because things might not get better sooner or later. The hope that we have is because that Father had raised Jesus from the dead, and he will bring us through what appears to be hopeless situations. We are reminded of the words from the author of Psalm 146, and he puts it this way: "Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever." My dear brothers and sisters, God is faithful. He is faithful to all his promises. And this is what gives us that life-giving hope. This hope tells us that because Jesus died and he rose for us, that the troubles in this life are only momentary afflictions that will disappear when we take possession of our heavenly inheritance. Jesus has conquered death. He has conquered the difficulties that we go through in life. He has conquered hopelessness and despair also. And it is for that reason, then, that we say with Peter that we love Christ, even though we have not seen him. And we believe in him, even though we have not seen him. We are blessed. We are blessed with this wonderful hope that centers around the words of Peter. Though you do not see him, you believe in him, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and is filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so today, my brothers and sisters, in Christ, we are not hopeless because we have that risen Christ. And he is the source of all of our hope. And let us give thanks this day to our God that we have been born again to a life-giving and living hope. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your gospel, that through your Son we are born again, forgiven, and given life everlasting. And may we, your children, praise you for your infinite mercy to us. In your precious name, Lord, we pray. Amen.